And now we did all this electronical stuff.
Electronical. I don't know. That just sounded funny. You saying electronical. All this highfalutin.
Bookie made fun of me for that too. As an electronic.
It's just it's electronic. It's not electronical.
Electronical.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Happy, happy day, and I thank God for the weather.
Sing it, Holly. I do thank God for the weather. It's been...
It is. It's beautiful.
It's springtime gorgeous here. Yep. I got my fan on now because now I'm hot. Already last night in the bed, I'm like, oh no, I cannot turn on my air conditioning at the beginning of March. I cannot
I know,
do that.
Seriously, but it's 80 degrees here.
But it's 80 degrees.
I know.
It's going to be fine. I would like an in-between time because literally I have my window open. I have it cracked almost every night all through the winter. I've had it cracked except the most bitter just to have that little bit of that fresh air. It just, ooh. Okay.
Well, I mean, it is. And it's welcome to episode. What are we? Evidently, we sound like we're at 78.
We're
78. All we talk about is
it's
the weather.
It's weather corner. People know that we need to tell them what the weather is doing. They need to know.
Anyway, well, we've got that. And next Sunday, we also have coming up daytime or what we spring forward.
Daylight, we go on daylight savings.
Okay.
Yes.
And I am glad next Sunday. Yes. So everybody listening today, go ahead and set your clocks up an hour on Sunday or on Saturday night, I guess.
Well, they all go, except your little oven. You're going to have to set your little oven.
And my car. And, anyway.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Spring forward on Sunday, which I'm really glad. I mean, I hate the time change, frankly.
We all hate
either
it.
Way, because it just is drag. It throws your whole, rhythm off.
Mm-hmm.
But I am so glad that at 7 o'clock, it's going to be daylight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nice to start being able to see my spouse in the light at some point is really a good. And it makes you feel like doing, otherwise I don't want to go out anywhere. Like it's starting to get dark. I'm like, I'm done. I can't go anywhere. What do you mean?
I know. We all talk about that. I mean, it's 6 o'clock. It feels like midnight.
Yeah. So that'll be very, very exciting. And I think we're having an early spring. I mean, I think everywhere. I know there's people that I follow, and I'm sure, you've got family up in Ron's family up in Minnesota, and they have had not very much snow at all this winter for Minnesota. So,
I just can't say it.
You're what? Are you okay?
My hyacinths are blooming.
Hyacinths?
Yes.
Are they really? Well, my dad brought over some daffodil. His stuff starts blooming before, because he's outside of the city. They start blooming a little early. So your hyacinths are already coming up.
They are. Which I kind of hate because I like them around Easter to, decorate.
Yeah, this is early.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's nice. That's nice. We just hope we don't get a freeze that comes in and kills everything. That's always just like the grim reaper,
Well, my grandmother always said there's always a cold snap before Easter. And I promise you my entire life, about the week before Easter, there's a cold snap that comes through. No matter where Easter falls.
Yeah, funnily enough, no matter.
Weird. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that up here I know it's maybe a little different there, but just by a little bit, maybe not. But like they say, it's not safe to put your plants outside till like Mother's Day. I mean, they're like
April 15th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 100% safe is like
Dorothy McCaleb's date. You don't plant anything until April 15th.
Okay.
And then we're good to go.
And then you're good. So that's going to be here before we know it, you guys. I mean, it's right around the corner. I'm ready because this is like travel season too. It's going to start up here and I'm ready. I'm ready to.
I know. Let's go.
Get up out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, let's see what I can't. There's not been a whole lot, just the kind of the same old around here, except I will say that I have axes all over my house, like chop them down like wood axes, just laying all over my house since Christmas. Tim did a really cool thing. He's been working on it for a while, but he made each of the kids a little hat. They're like hatchets. Just made, you know, got bought the hand. I mean, he bought the handle and he got the axe heads and he sharpened them up and he stained the hand. I don't know what I'll put their little first name initial in the handle. Anyway, he was just real excited and wanted to he made one for Joey for Christmas too. So he got a little, they all got these really pretty hatchets. And then, but Thatcher's is here because of course he couldn't fly home to New York with a hatchet in his carry-on or whatever. Guess he left it here.
Yeah.
So it's been laying down here. Hudson's was laying down on the living room coffee table for like forever. Then Thatcher's is on the table by the bottom of the stairs. And then I walk into Tim's office last night and there's a full blown, he made himself one too, a hatchet, but there was like a full size axe just laying on his desk. I if someone came in my house, they would be like, what?
You might want to sleep with one eye open.
What is actually wrong with you? We have axes just laying. Doesn't everybody just have axes laying all over their house all the time? You never know. It just occurred to me. I've been so busy and the house is so, you know, again, I've got had stuff everywhere. So my threshold for like noticing and caring about stuff has been really, really low because I'm like, I just can't. But then it did literally occur to me. I walked through the house and I'm like, well, there's just hatchets and axes all over my house. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I mean, you know, but nothing says Easter like, you know.
You got to cut axes. That bunny. I mean, no, wait, the ham, the pig, the turkey. What are we doing? I don't even know. I don't know.
Well, we have St. Patrick's Day to go through first.
Okay.
We have that coming up.
I never do anything for, except in grade school, I was always paranoid, of course, to not be wearing stupid green and get pinched by all the stupid kids. And
honey, I get my Irish on. My Irish comes out.
Oh, Lord,
if
have
it
mercy.
It is Irish. It is. We are slathered up. Listen, I love Ireland. Listen, it was one of my favorite places that I've ever been. I was with my people. I can get my Irish on real easy.
your little short little Irish leprechaun-y people.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad that you feel connected.
I do.
To your heritage.
And I was in St. Patrick's Cathedral on St. Patrick's Day.
That is very cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, that is very, very cool, I have to say. Pretty amazing. And she kissed the Blarney Stone.
I kissed the Blarney Stone.
I know.
I did. I got hit on by Irish men. Evidently, I'm, you know, I'm there.
It was such a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It's like that meme where you're like, I might not be a 10, but I'm a solid 8 at the Walmart.
But in Ireland? In Ireland? Yes, ma'am.
Exactly. Things are good.
Short,
so great.
Curly,
are you drinking a Clearly Canadian?
I am drinking a Blackberry Clearly Canadian.
Oh, that's my favorite, the Mountain Blackberry. I saw some in the store the other day, and I almost got one, but they're so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but you're good. You're dedicated to the.
It's my treat. No,
it is a treat.
It's a treat, and I save it for when it's just crazy.
Yeah, you just need a little. Yeah, you want something special and refreshy, and I'm gonna have to get some. I'm afraid I'll just drink them too much. So, the only other thing I have coming up, if anybody returns my calls and my emails today my job was to. It's Monday, and my job was to. So the start. For the looking of the wedding venues, of course, has begun in earnest. And we've got a bunch of several great options and dates are open when, you know, so it's encouraging because you never know.
Right.
And so Avery's coming in town. In fact, by the time people hear this, she'll be in town and I will be, we're going to, you know, hit hard and heavy touring and looking at these different places, but no one is calling me back. I literally called all kinds of people, left messages. Maybe they don't work on Mondays. Maybe event people.
Could be. That could be.
I don't know. But like, I haven't heard when I sent the emails, like a lot of the places have forms and stuff that you send in and I got emails back, you know, with information.
Right.
So I got a lot of information. Let me tell you what, guys, it's a lot of details. There's a lot of like just looking at each place and then like, this is what they do and that. There's some similarities, mm-hmm. but there's also like, you know, details and differences, which that's fine. But so our goal is to go see a bunch of places, but I mean, they better, and I don't think they're very busy right now. It's beginning of, this is not big event season or wedding time. Right, so that right. should be, if I don't hear back, I need to hear tomorrow because we got to get, we got to just get times. I mean, there are a few places we can kind of just go and look, but like, I really want the wedding. Like we want to see what's available, you know, like your room, you get ready in and here's this and here's that. We need to kind of see the whole thing. Cause not a lot of time to figure that out. So hopefully, right. so we'll see. I'll keep you posted, but that's really the only stressor right now of kind of, they need to get back to me.
Yeah.
Or yes, I'm going to start pounding some heads.
Well, listen,
turn into Bridezilla's mother.
I made a reservation today.
You did?
I did.
What reservation did you make for us?
I'm going to, for you. Well, for me,
oh,
yes.
Darn it.
One of your favorite places, the Reed House. So if you have listened to us back in the summer, Holly and I went and stayed at the Reed House in Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lovely old hotel. Yes.
Beautiful. Very the lobby historical is beautiful.
And, yes. I mean, it really is gorgeous. Anyway, I'm taking two girls to Tennessee Skills USA.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
Which is our competition for culinary.
Right. And last year there was a bomb threat. So we hope that that will not happen.
Last year there was a bomb threat, right?
Right. At the convention center.
Mm-hmm. At the convention center. So, but I like staying at the Reed House. It's just right next to the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
And, but all the other people stay at the convention center.
Sure.
Just, when I take two girls,
it's easy if you've got a big group. And yeah, that'll be so nice.
So we're going to stay in the Reed House in April for about 4 days.
Excellent.
I know. I'm looking forward to it.
Say hi to the nice. Ghost. What's her name?
I know. I've already forgotten.
I can't remember her name. Her husband was John.
Annalise?
I think that's it. Yeah. I think that is it.
I think that's right.
Yeah. We toured the haunted room last time. If you missed it last year, you got to go back and listen to that episode. I don't remember what it was, but it was in the summer.
It was in July. It was toward the end of July. Yeah, we did.
We did. We had a time and we got a tour. Oh, no. Our tour guide's name was John, not the dead husband.
Yes.
Or wife. No, that's right. That's right. His name was John.
His name was John.
And Al Capone stayed in that room, and we had a whole good time. So, excellent. Well, that'll be a fun getaway. That'll be perfect. The weather will be
it's
nice.
It's nice. It's competing, and you know I don't have to compete, so it's not on me. And I kind of feel bad for the girl competing. I don't expect us to win, just because we've never done this before.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, did you go last year
just to check it out?
We went as observers, and then when we got there, we couldn't observe the culinary.
Oh.
So we don't know, and I can't find, like, am I supposed to bring our own equipment? I mean, we're going to take it. I know they'll have some equipment there, but we don't know what to expect.
They didn't send you, like, a packet or an email or anything?
No. They have, like, memo Mondays, but I've dug through all that stuff, and I can't find anything. So I don't know what to expect. I don't know what to tell her, so...
She's
going to be the guinea pig this year.
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit of fun, like no pressure, just like go check it out is
and
can be
we've
fun
had,
too.
You know, and they charge them. I mean, like their uniforms, mm-hmm. you have to wear these uniforms to here and here. Well, I spent $300 on uniforms and I had the registration is $80 a piece, including I have to pay an $80
registration.
The teacher
shouldn't have to pay. They got to come anyway. So, one person's got to come.
And they have meals and they have, I mean, it's just ridiculous the amount of money. And I just put a thing out on email or on Facebook, and I've never done this before because I just have, like last year, I just paid for it out of our account. But food right now is so outrageously expensive that we're just struggling to even, keep cooking and keep doing labs. And so I thought, well, maybe there'll be some businesses or somebody who will sponsor us. I want you to know that I got sponsors. I got the money to the penny.
Are you serious?
I mean, you talk about the Lord. Yes, listen. Oh. So I'm just going to give shout out.
Yeah, shout them out.
Orange Blossom is a local florist.
I love
florist
them.
Here.
They're a beautiful florist. I've ordered from them. Way to go.
They do beautiful work. And they donated to the Savannah Meat Market, mm-hmm. who is our local butcher. Fantastic meat.
I mean, I've had just, their brisket. It's outstanding as yes, well. Okay, see, I know all about these people.
I know. You know Savannah in and out.
I know the good
Kelly's
spots.
Catch Caviar.
Yes, yum.
Sponsored us. Tracy Hellman sponsored us.
Aww.
My kids, when I told them, y'all
Tracy.
Just got, I know. Listen, it was so much fun to say, y'all got a sponsor from Hawaii. They were like,
were they what? Just?
Oh, over the moon. Why did Spry from, you know, I mean, you can kind of justify people from somewhere. I was like, why from Hawaii? Why, you know?
Oh my goodness. So that they, is the coolest. Tracy, that's awesome.
So thrilled. And, yeah, I don't
that
know.
That means a lot to the kids. That means
it does.
A lot.
That, yeah. I mean, really, that is for somebody from so far away to, mm-hmm. you know, to reach out. And then we had a Robertson's Chapel, a church
uh-huh.
here.
Nice.
Gave us some money.
Awesome.
And a former teacher, Ms. Helen
aww.
Bain, did.
Aww.
I mean, it has just worked out perfectly. So
that's outstanding.
So culinary is not down $1,000.
Culinary is still going.
We are still, whoo.
Barely.
Barely, yeah. You know, so it was just perfect. Worked out.
Oh,
worked
my
out
gosh.
So
that makes
well.
Me so happy. That's going to be really, that's just going to be a great yeah. time. And just learning, figuring it out. You know, your students are just,
right.
you know,
well,
you'll just
and just
it
to
out.
Have people who believe in them, you know, just, yeah. and to encourage them. I mean, that it just means so much. So
yeah, it's a lot.
Anyway.
You know, kids, a lot of kids, you know, we all, you know, kids that do sports do a lot of sports
yeah.
trips, and we would go
yeah.
to tournament this every, you know,
yeah.
year in February, and just all the things. And it's a fun time and a special time. And like you said, people supporting, but a lot of times, I mean, these other people, these girls of yours, they may be athletes too, but I'm just saying not everybody does that. So it's neat
right.
that like, if the culinary is kind of your thing or the radio,
yeah.
like Ron, you know, did radio,
yeah.
if that's your thing, like you get an opportunity to kind of do these extra
right.
activities.
Hey,
that's very
and I
cool.
will encourage everybody, wherever you're listening, you know, reach out. If you want to make a donation, reach out to your CTE programs at your local high schools.
Mm.
It is career technical education. And I mean, these kids are making huge strides and yeah,
yeah.
they're the ones that are fixing your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be your plumbers, your electricians.
Absolutely.
They're going to be, you know, your cooks, but the CTE programs right now are struggling because everything costs so much. I mean, we may get some big grants for like equipment and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but just doing, like, I know I got, you know, we got a grant and I got new equipment. Well, that's all well and good, but when you can't, you know, pay for the food or
right.
the carpenters can't buy the wood
right.
or they can't, you
the,
know,
the
it's,
disposable, the
right.
consumable
your,
stuff.
Your consumables.
That it's easier to make an investment in something that's going to last a little longer,
right.
but you've got those everyday costs that fuel, I mean, everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's a
all
good point.
So yeah, if you're looking to make a donation somewhere, your local high school CTE programs are a great, great
mm-hmm.
place,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's
to do
awesome.
That. So anyway,
that's fantastic. Well, I have another little thing to report
okay.
on. So, and I'm not going to say a whole, well, I'm going to, I have some thoughts. This past Saturday, I went to Missouri, had the caucus for the presidential
uh-huh,
caucus
uh-huh.
this year. And I'm just going to talk about how our whole system is jacked up. Okay. I just need
So wait, y'all switched. From primary
yes.
to a caucus.
Yes.
Yeah, John Garrett was like, why did Missouri have 900 votes?
I know. We don't know.
Ann Holly called me stupid.
I didn't call him stupid. I absolutely didn't. I explained it to him quite nicely. No, here's the long and the short of it, because not, you know, whatever. But it's just fascinating. I'm very fascinated with the whole, you know, obviously it's an election year. It's a presidential election year and mm-hmm. big deal. And so for whatever reason, the Missouri Republican Party decided to do a caucus. That's who's in charge of it, right? It's not your Secretary of State or anything like that of your state. They help run elections and they help run primary. But if the party wants to do a caucus or wants to do whatever, they, I guess, apparently can do that and they run it. So the Missouri Republican Party decided to do a caucus. Our primary is, again, I just want to say a couple of things. I've touched on it before. The primary system is messed up. Mm-hmm. We need to fix it. Please talk to your representative. I'm going to go talk to my people. I may even have to dip my toe in getting involved in the stupid committees that I don't want to be involved with because they are annoying to just start making people make sense. We all need to have federal election primaries on the same day across our whole country when we're voting for the same thing. Done. Okay. Enough said. Common sense. New Hampshire, suck it. Iowa, who cares? Y'all are not special. You don't get to decide. South Carolina, you don't get to decide for the whole rest of the 47 other states. Okay. Enough said. Whatever reason, because our primary is not till August 6th. So we never get say in jack squat diddly.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest. August, it's like 2 weeks before the convention or something. Mm-hmm. Whatever candidates are left.
Oh, ours is coming up tomorrow.
Is yours Super Tuesday?
We're Super Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay. So at least you get a little bit of a like
say
something. Yeah. There might be somebody left, but you know, not really. Yeah. So anyway, so they moved it to a caucus and they moved it to this past Saturday. And I did post on my social media, you know, just fleetingly last week because there's been no talk about it.
Matter of fact, yours was the only thing I've seen. You know, of course, I'm not in Missouri.
No one's heard it. No one knew about it. I received zero mailings. The Missouri Republican Party did not send me, you know, all the junk mail I get.
Right.
You know, the junk that I get in my mailbox from every candidate, from every school board member, from everything. Uh-huh. And I got the big fat goose egg from the Missouri Republican Party talking about.
Goose egg.
Big fat egg telling me, here's the caucus. This is what we're doing. This is what it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's where you need, you know, no information. So I had to look it all up. I'd heard about it somehow. I don't even know how. And so I'm looking it up. I'm finding the information. Not only did they switch it to a caucus, but it's not even like broken down into the smaller groups. Like, cause I've done a caucus before. Missouri had one years ago. I mean, like my kids were little.
Okay.
Young.
I didn't realize they'd ever had a caucus.
We had one random crazy year. I don't even remember what the election, I really don't remember. It was probably one of the Obama, I would guess, kind of that
time
frame. Yeah. I don't even know. My kids were young. And we went to this little, so it's broken up by little small sections of, you know, little municipality. Anyway, it was broken up and we went to this little house and we were all in this little basement, not of a person's house, but it was like a house being used for business. Blah, blah. Anyway, crazy, did this caucus thing, which at that time I thought it was insane. I'm like, it's insane. And anyway, we're doing it again. This time it's not little, it's everybody in the second. So we have in the St. Louis area, we basically have two national congressional districts. That's how it was broken up. So there's the first congressional district, which is like downtown, North County, out to we're about as far east as the second congressional district goes. So we're in the second. So it's pretty much all West County, St. Louis, Fenton, Wildwood. It's a pretty big western area of the St. Louis kind of region. So that entire congressional district is supposed to report to one West County High School, Parkway West, to do the caucus. So I decide to go. Tim's like, I'll pass. I'm like, that's fine. I'll be the only patriot in the family. Don't worry about it. So I get there. First of all, there's a huge line to get in. It starts at 10. There's a huge, and I'm there like 9:20. Like I'm there early because I'm like, I need to get there. I tried to pre-register on the Tuesday before because they're like, pre-register, so we'll take less time. And they weren't taking any more it was like closed on the computer. So I'm like, somebody is really trying to make this difficult for us all. I'm convinced of that. So I didn't. So a big old long line, lots of people in the parking lot, you know, rah, rah, rah. I'm not going to talk about candidates, but I'm just going to say it was very obviously, because it's a caucus, it's different than a primary.
Right.
Where you can't do electioneering, you can't, you know, where you're, okay, everyone working there had a Trump button. Everybody, like the people in working the line, the people checking you in, like it was a whole thing. Anyway, all of that is to say, We get in, we do it, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to discuss all that, although that was fast. It's a lot of politicking, okay? Yeah. It's a lot of if you're on the inside. So what I want to say is the caucuses are stupid. We need to not do them. Republican Party, whatever party. The Democrats are having theirs the end of this month, but they can mail in and meet in person, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. We're in this gym. We're in a high school gym, and we filled it up. No, just the bleachers, though. No chairs on the floor. It was about 900 and some odd. Let's just say about 950. They told us the amount because they have to report the amount of people there, whatever. 950, whatever, people there. Out of the entire 2nd Congressional District of Missouri. Now, voter turnout can be low. I mean, it was high. There was a lot of people there, but like, usually in the presidential years, you get more, mm-hmm. you know, interest.
Right.
But,
yeah.
you know, out of a whole, you know, it's almost like
half a county. Yeah.
700,000 people. Now, not all those are registered voter, not, you know, but it's right. a, you know, good amount of people. And all those people, like I said, here's the thing, guys. All those people have to be available at 10 o'clock on mm-hmm. Saturday, March 2nd to go stand outside for an hour and a half and then sit inside, and you can't leave. If you leave, you can't come back in. So you got to sit there and wait. So it was total about good 4 to 5 hours that I was there.
Wow.
Not everybody can do that.
No.
Republican Party of Missouri. Not everyone has the luxury of taking off, figuring out, and getting there. In fact, at the beginning, they had recognized the current serving military, and the veterans stood up and we clapped. And then any current first responders and we're going to clap and recognize you. Mm-hmm. That's great. You know who can't be here today? The first responders.
The first responders,
We can't freaking shut down the whole police, fire, and EMS for the 2nd Congressional freaking District of Missouri, so they can all come sit here on their butts and watch you people piddle-paddle around and make your speeches.
Yeah.
I'm a little hot. I'm a little hot over the situation. So they can't come. So they're disenfranchised. Sorry. Sorry for you.
The easy fix is a one-day primary for the entire United States.
It's just a primary, guys. But you know what? Yeah. This costs less. This is a lot of money. I was talking to one of the guys next to me. He's like, the reason they kind of said it was that it's a cost. They have to pay all the poll workers and they have to get on. I'm like, you know what? I looked at him and I said, you know what? The government has about 3 to 4 jobs that they need to do. And making sure our elections can go is one of those.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Maybe if they can't find money for, you know, studies to Pakistan.
If they can't find the money to run the primary correctly so we can elect a president, then I'm going to come in there and I'm with my red pen and I'm going to start crossing stuff out for you because if it's a cost savings, which is total BS, first of all, I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's about control. It's about, and I blame the Republican Party for this, and I am one, but I blame because I don't know who's running this show, but because here's the other thing. So out of that 950 some odd people there, there's 2 slates of delegates. So each caucus, when the winner, you then pick a slate of 151 delegates to go. And that's where those votes were, I think, that John Garrett was asking. So that's all the delegates.
Okay.
And then you go to the next thing in April, the countywide, and then you go to from that, delegates are selected to go to the state. Anyway, so there's 2 slates of opposing, and these were both pro-Trump slates. But they are all mad at each other because they did this and they did that, or somehow it's not running. So we want this one and you want that. And I have no idea. I'm like, but my point is too, out of that 900 and let's say 50 people that were there, there's 2 delegate slates that need to have about, and neither one of them had enough. So they had to get together for a half an hour and combine to come up with a combined delegate qualifying amount. But let's say, I think they were each about 130, 140 something of the delegates. So out of that 900 and whatever, almost 300, 250 to 300 are potential, are delegates. So they're people that are very involved. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be there. I'm not saying that. They should. Of course they should.
But then you have 400 people who showed up.
Who are not involved in all the committee politicking.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying these delegates are bad. I'm not saying, I'm just saying it's about the insider situation.
Right.
Okay. Yep. And that, so that is the deal. Like I said, you got kids in college who are of voting age and don't live in town. Too bad for you. You don't get to do the caucus because it's not a mail-in. You got older people who can't get there and stand in line for 2 hours, you know, and do all that. Oh, too bad for you. You've got parents with young kids who now have to either get grandma and grandpa. Well, then the grandma and grandpa can't come. Okay, wait, who to babysit to find? You got big soccer games all happening on, you know.
Yeah.
If you do a primary like we normally do, the people that want to, you can take 30 minutes on your way to work, on your way to the thing at lunch, and you can pop out to the place close to you because that's how it works.
Yeah.
And you go can, vote and then go home.
Yeah. Yep. And you can take your children into the box you can take your kids
and it's a 34, you know.
For a 30-minute wait.
You
but
can.
Not 6 hours
I did that
on a
for
Saturday.
Years. Yep. For years, you know, took my kids up there to the little library. Okay, so that's my whole spiel. That's my whole point. Caucuses are stupid. You don't talk. I had a lovely visit with the people around me. Nobody's convincing anybody. Nobody's talking to anybody. It's all a bunch of insider people that are on the committees that know the blah, 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 that want to get the certain whatever that none of us even know about. And it could have all have been done very easily and efficiently and allowed for everyone who wants to participate to participate, which feels like to me kind of an important American thing.
I will go vote in my primary tomorrow.
Well, enjoy your little 30-minute, 15-minute walk in and walk out. Enjoy that.
Yeah. I will.
I had to sit on the back row of a bleacher. I had a lovely lady by me and I had lovely people by me, but and you stand up and they count you. I'm like, are we in the 1800s? Can I just put a ballot in a box?
Yeah.
That's what I would like to do.
I don't know. The whole election system just needs, it needs an overhaul. And
it
we
does.
Talked about
it
last
truly
week
does.
And I don't want to keep pounding on this, but again, you know, we voted on paper forever and we knew who was going to be, you know, whatever, the senator, the president, the whatever, by the time I went to bed. And now we did all this electronical stuff.
Electronical. I don't know. That just sounded funny. You saying electronical, all this highfalutin.
Bookie made fun of me for that too. As an electronic.
It's just it's electronic. It's not electronical.
Electronical. It's my word and I'm sticking to it.
I like it.
But we have all this, you know, high fangled whatever.
Highfalutin
fangled, you know, that's supposed to make it so much easier and whatever. And we don't know for 2 weeks. I mean, since we started using it, it's weeks before we know.
I know, but I think that's all this crap. I think that a lot of that is the nature of some other stuff going on too, just with how things are reported and how things are systems that are kind of, cause when we first went to the computer stuff, we were pretty okay. For a few elections, I don't remember having real issues, but I think now that everything is so contested and so like kind of crazy, I will tell you the other thing I did. I was really popular at this caucus. Let me tell you, I was very quiet. Let me just tell you that. But so when we're waiting outside in line, there was people coming by with petitions and, you know, do you want to sign this and get this on the ballot? And I'm like, no, because the money's not even going to the schools. Like you say, it's gone. And they're like, oh my gosh. Anyway, which the one guy doing it was so nice. Like, yeah, you're right. Actually, it's like, I hate to even. I'm like, yeah, exactly. So stop it. But anyway, this little lady came by and she was talking to people behind me and she had her little clipboard. And she said, would you all be willing to sign a petition to get Robert Kennedy Jr. on the Missouri ballot. And I looked at her and I took that clipboard and I said, give it here. I said, yeah, absolutely. I'll sign that. And I think I was like the sixth person.
Yeah.
You know, because again, I'm tired. He can be on the, he's a viable candidate. I'm not saying every Joe Schmo, you know, but he is a viable running a campaign, doing stuff, a known person, and state of Missouri, you should put him on the ballot.
That's right.
And every, and so I'm
I am not for all this. He can't be on the ballot business, whether it's Republican or Democrat.
Exactly. I'm like,
we are not Cuba people.
Right.
We are the United States of America.
Right.
And if they qualify, if they qualify, going on the ballot.
And we can all use our big boy and girl brains.
Yeah.
And she was so happy. She was like, thank you. I mean, she was just like, thank you so much. I said, I just think everyone who's a viable, you know, he's a, you know, I think they should be on the ballot. And she's like, I appreciate that. Just you're giving me an opportunity, you know, come election to maybe pick who I'm like, it's, I'm like, I'm not intimidated by that.
No,
it doesn't. And, you know, people have all their own opinions. They're, you know, don't even get me started on the fact that we shouldn't just have two party candidates. Don't even get me started on that because we should have like five or six or seven parties. Yep. And that's all I'm going to say about it for now, because this system is not going real great.
No, it's not. And it's not going great. But, you know, and I will say, I will say this with all the election stuff that happened in the last election. And, but one of the reasons that people have problems buying that it was fair is just like you said, there were 700 people who showed up.
Yep.
Out of those 300, they had an interest in it. So you had 400 people. When all of a sudden you have districts, I mean, I'm here to tell you a 60% turnout is a huge election.
Oh, yeah.
That's a huge.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Huge.
Unheard of almost. Yeah.
Unheard of. And so all of a sudden you have all these districts having 100% voter turnout. And some over 100%. I mean, that's where people start having questions.
Sure. And you could, and there should be a very simple way to monitor that and qualify that and get that. It's, again, I just feel like it's not super hard. I know it's kind of complicated in a way because, you know, there's a lot of moving parts, but I'm like you, I feel like this is a fixable thing.
Yeah.
We can actually do this.
And either side,
it's not rocket science. I mean, it's,
this is either side.
Either side.
You cannot, we cannot risk our American, you know, govern our American freedoms by having election interference. Either way, because before it was the Democrats saying it was, you know, fixed or stolen or whatever, and then it was the Republicans saying it was stolen. We need to have an election where nobody that cannot even be questioned, but it's
agreed
that it can't be questioned.
Where there's enough things in place and
everything's in place.
Yeah.
And there need to be modems in and Wi-Fi in the voting machines.
I mean,
I'm sorry, but
I think you're probably right. There's a way to just make it so there's no way and very secure. And I'll tell you what, again, not, you know, and not to get all off into a wackadoodle, but it's not wackadoodle. Like, they're actually, they've turned up the evidence of that, you know, the Russia during the election, that agent Russia did disinformation, not having to do with any candidate in particular, talking to them, but just sowing the seeds of that the election is a problem and that we didn't do it right. And that it was stolen and that all this, they were actually, the Russian bots were out sowing seeds of this information, disinformation
because
to a lot of people.
Turns out the Bible is correct that a house divided against itself cannot
exactly
stand.
So they don't have to really do anything crazy because they can just kind of sit here and make us all turn on ourselves
turn on
and turn
each other.
On our and it's just a shame, and it didn't have to be that way.
Well,
so I
will say this too, and I'm going to speak as a high school teacher. Our problem is, you know, we've got to come back to integrity. We have got to have integrity.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching these kids and they will cheat and they don't care. They don't care. They'll talk about it right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
In their other classes, I'm going to pay this person to do this. I'm going to do this. Or do you have, I mean, it's not even, you know, and I know, I mean, cheating went on, you know, obviously.
But people didn't talk
school,
about it as openly. I don't feel
we
like.
We weren't proud of it. I mean,
well,
you
didn't,
you know,
you maybe joked about it with your friends if you had friends that were into that. But no, like, you would not talk about it openly. I never heard anyone talk about it.
Known as a cheater. You did not, you know, I don't know, but we've got to rebuild some integrity and character in America. Anyway,
I know. And we can do it. I say that we can do it. We're not at the mercy of all this craziness, but it does take, you know, it's a lot of effort. Cause I mean, a lot of us are, you know, we're all busy. You know, we got lives. We have other things going on than sitting and worrying about who's going to be on the delegate panel and what they did and that. But those things are important. I don't say that to being, because those are the things. That's why they say all politics is local, because that's where it starts.
That's where it starts.
That's where it starts. And those local people, if you can confuse people or whatever, confusion is power.
Fear, you know, is power. Fear. You start striking. You know, fear into their hearts, and you can.
And if you don't know, so we just can get past all that, and we can all have hope. And I am very hopeful. I don't, you know, but I'm tired of the shenanigans. I'm just like, there's no reason that we had to do like what we did this last Saturday. It was ridiculous.
Nope.
And it didn't matter. Like I said, like it was obvious who was going to win, and you know they did, and that's fine. I'm not grumping about that. I just want everyone to have a fair, like I said to the guy next to me, he was super nice. And we ended up talking after for a little bit. And I was explaining to him about, I said that I don't like the caucus, because he was like, I've never been. This was kind of interesting. And it is, it's kind of feel goody if your group is the one, you know, kind of that you're going to get your outcome you want. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. But I said, you know, I said, this caucus is, it's not the way to go. And I shared what I shared and about all the people that couldn't vote. And he was like, oh, you got a point. It's like, no one thinks about that. I'm like, you're there. It's exciting. It's kind of like a lot of drama. There's all these things going on. And I'm like, but the point is, and I said, and that's well and good. That may be okay when it's your person that's comes out in the good. But if it wasn't, you might be a little upset. And quite frankly, I think a lot of those people that didn't come vote would have still been in the Trump camp. So I'm not even saying it would have made a difference. I'm just saying, you know, it's all fine until maybe you're not, you know, you feel like it didn't go away or, you know what I mean? Just like, because everyone should just be, not everyone's going to vote. Not everybody cares. And that's their, I don't like that. Cause I think again, it's my license to complain. When I go and vote and I go to the caucus, because now I can have a say about it.
If you don't vote, you can't complain.
You've got to shut your mouth then if you don't bother to show up, unless it's some kind of emergency, you know, but enough said. It's going to be a fun year, you guys. It's going to be a great year.
Well, I have one more thing before we break down into recipes and top three. It is happy.
Oh,
it is. Okay. So my word for the week is breathe.
Oh, I need that.
Because I have a busy week, and my song for the week is "You Are the Air I Breathe." But I have an extremely busy week. It is Read Across America Week. Some of you may know it as Dr. Seuss Day or whatever.
Okay,
but it is where the schools really promote literacy. And I mean, you know, study after study they've shown that that readers are more successful. And, you know, successful people read. And so this is their 2 days. I think the elementary schools actually take like the whole week and promote a lot of literacy during this week. But culinary, our library at the high school, their theme for it is pause, P-A-W-S, to read. And it's all animal themed. So we have a free coffee bar. And then we make our money back by doing snacks, by selling snacks. So we are busy making Oreo truffles and cake pops. And
my goodness.
We'll do all kinds of fried food, which I can't stand. But anyway.
But it's what the people want.
Cookies, but it's what they want.
It's what they want.
Muffins, but it's all little dog themed. We've got little paws and bones and, you know, so. Anyway, so we've got that on Thursday and Friday, and we're cooking for the church on Wednesday. And so today we even started like prep work and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I've got other stuff coming in, like, you know, I've got to do the nursery Sunday, and we're having a cleaning day at church Saturday. And I don't know. So my word is just breathe.
You got to breathe.
Just breathe.
You got to breathe.
Because read Across America. I mean, it just, it's chaos. It's just chaotic.
Yeah. It's a
and
lot.
It's exhausting. And I've just decided I'm going to try to not let it be.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to get stressed about it. We're just going to, you know, we get done what we get done and that's it.
That's good. So, that's really good. You'll enjoy it better. You can just kind of take a pause, as it says, and just, you know, the world's not going to come to an end. You're going to get it done. That is awesome. Well, do you have a recipe for us today?
All right. We're coming in St. Patrick's Day. So we're going to do a shepherd's pie.
Oh,
now
Tim loves shepherd's pie.
Let me tell you, do you use ground beef or ground lamb?
Just beef. And sausage.
So what you are making is a cottage pie.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Because the shepherd would be the lamb. It's the sheep's. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So.
Good.
So
okay.
That
that's good
is, that's just a little, we all call it shepherd's pie here when we use the beef.
But I have heard cottage pie. I mean, I've heard that before, but you're right.
But the Irish will be quick to tell you.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
That if it's made with beef, it's cottage pie.
You don't want to make the Irish mad. Okay.
Do not make
them mad. You don't want to upset them.
I mean, most of you know it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's basically a, you know, a beef stew on the bottom and mashed potatoes on the top.
Mm-hmm.
This, though, actually, this recipe, and I've already put it up there, has their potato dish is, it's a traditional Irish potato dish called Colcannon.
Oh.
And anyway, it has some cabbage in it.
Oh.
And some leeks in it.
Oh, that cheese. Sounds good.
Yeah. So anyway, but it is, so I'll just tell you, you know, the topping, you're going to take about 2 pounds, which is about four medium potatoes, and you're going to cook those, add salt and pepper, you know, mash them up. You're going to do just like mashed potatoes with your butter and I probably would add some cream to it just because.
Always good. Southern. Yeah. You know,
And then you just really need a little bit of cabbage. I would say maybe a half of cup, just really chopped.
Okay.
You know, thin. Cause you don't want a big mouthful of cabbage. I don't with my mashed potatoes, but it gives it a little, you know. A leek. Now, if you don't have a leek at your local grocery store, because a lot of small towns, some do, some don't. It's a little probably more difficult to find here than in St. Louis. If you need a substitute, don't use green onion. Use a Vidalia onion or a sweet onion.
Yeah, it'll be too... Yeah, because it'll be too oniony.
Yes, yeah. Your green onion is too stout. But a lot of people, because they, you know, kind of look the same.
Right.
The leek is, you know, a ginormous form of a green onion.
But it's milder. It looks, you're right.
It's but a little, it's much milder.
Yeah.
It has. It doesn't have such a sharp
onion
taste.
Okay, so yeah, just
your
the Vidalia. Oh, yeah, that would be a good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then it's garlic and white cheddar cheese. Oh, it does have some cream in it. They do.
Okay.
And some egg yolks.
Oh.
Okay. And that's their Colcannon. And that's what they put on the top of their...
The cabbage is mixed into the potato.
It's mixed
into
like
the
potato.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds really good. I like cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, I'm not
really
a big
good.
Fan of cabbage.
Okay.
I'm not crazy about it. So,
and if you don't want to cut like a whole cabbage, you can just buy like a coleslaw mix at the grocery and it's already shredded. Might have a couple carrots in it, but some don't. And just throw that up in there.
You can pick the carrots out.
Yeah, just throw that up in there.
Yeah. All right. And then your filling, you know, is just, you've got your oil, little olive oil. You've got carrots and onion and celery and garlic and fresh thyme and salt and pepper, tomato paste, ground lamb, or you can do beef, but then it's cottage pie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some peas and flour, chicken broth, and Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire. That sounds really good. Except now it's so hot. I don't know that I want it, but
it's I know.
It is.
It's going to cool off. It is going to cool off.
I'll just take Tim up to Llewellyn's and we'll get it there at the pub. I'm not going to cook it. Sorry.
I'll cook it. Yeah.
That sounds great. You just kind of cook it you cook the meat and all that. But you're right, all the oniony stuff, and then you just layer it up and you heat it up.
Do your filling, do your topping and kind of set it aside.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you're going to do your filling and, and then you'll add your topping to it.
Yeah, and then just
you can get like decorative stuff if you want to do, You can either lay it on there, or you could get like a peg decorating thing.
Yeah. Or you could even make them as individual too. Like if you wanted to do, like if you have smaller baking, you know, like a grommet or something.
Yeah. A ramekin. You could do it in like.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be cool.
And yeah. And so then you're going to cook it for about 35 minutes. You may just let it rest. Let it rest, I would say, for 10, 15 minutes. And yep.
There you go. Luck of the Irish.
Luck of the Irish. Arr.
I don't know why I did a pirate. I don't know why I just did a pirate.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
That don't make good sense. All right. And you have the top three. So I'm going to sit here and drink my clear like Canadian.
How dare you?
Top three.
Okay. My top three this week are just random. My favorite nail polish remover is the Olive and June polish removers. I know you all have heard all the ads for Olive and June, you know, if you listen to any podcasts ever. Anyway, and I their polishes are okay and all that, but their nail polish remover, it comes in a little tub with a little sponge. You know, way back in the day we had that, like Sally Hansen or someone made one, but it wasn't very good. Yeah. This comes in a little pink tub, and I'll link it. And it is the best polish remover I've ever used. And I've used.
And it's got the sponge that you stick your finger down in.
It does.
Oh, I and loved you just, that, you literally actually.
What?
I did. I loved it. It worked well on mine.
Well, this, whatever the remover is in this, I mean, you put your finger in, you just do a couple of swirls and it's out. It's really good remover. And it's so easy. I just have it in my little kit. You don't have to have any cotton balls. You don't have to have any pads. You don't have to worry about spilling the whole bottle. I mean, how many of us are sitting there like, I have to put the lid on every, you know, I get paranoid. Yes, I'm going to spill the nothing. You just unscrew the lid, put your finger in there. It's got a little pad on the top of the lid too. Like if you want to just kind of, I guess it's for your toenail. I don't use it on my toes because I just use the other kind on there. But anyway, it's really fast. It's really easy. It's really good. And it's like $10, but it lasts quite a while. So I love that Olive and June polish remover. The second thing is the book that I finished, which I remarked on the other day. I think I talked about it, which was The Fever in the Heartland by Timothy Egan. I think I mentioned I was reading that and I wasn't finished, but it was a very good book. It's about how the kind of the rise and then the downfall of the KKK in Indiana and the North in the 1920s. So it's fascinating. It was just really, really good. One story that I wanted to share, speaking in honor of St. Patrick's Day. I don't think I shared about, did I share about Notre Dame, the college?
No.
Okay. I didn't think I did. So one of the stories in the, again, I love how it's just filled with all these interesting things that I didn't know. And so this is about the KKK. They really became very huge in the state of Indiana, pretty much took it over in the 20s. So one of the things that they were really unhappy with was that University of Notre Dame there in Indiana, big Catholic university, you know, school, they were anti-Catholic because it was tied to a lot of immigrants like Italians and whatnot were Catholic. So they were anti like the Pope and Rome and Catholic and immigrants and all that. So the KKK didn't like them. And so one of the plans was to take down, you know, get rid of Notre Dame. And so there was one night when a bunch of KKK dudes went up onto the campus and in their little garb and started, they were going to get in there and like destroy stuff and do, you know, all kinds of bad stuff. Well, some of these Irish lads heard about it, that they was a coming, these fraternity bros and et cetera. And they stood up and they weren't having it. And they went down there and faced off the KKK and beat them back and got rid of them and saved the campus and all that. And guys, that is the origination of the Fighting Irish that we still call them today.
Fighting Irish. Which How about that? I never knew that.
Never knew it. That came from that time when that group of guys, students, fought off the KKK from destroying Notre Dame. And they were referred to as the Fighting Irish, and it stuck. So there you go. Isn't that the coolest?
My good Irishman.
Those Irish boys weren't having it. Those Catholic boys weren't having it. The last thing is just a product that I'm liking. I'm doing a lot of, you know, with all my vintage stuff and the things that I get that are wood. It's so awesome because you get all this dusty old, you know, wood, and man, you clean it up and it looks good. I have been using, there's a bunch of different products, but a really easy one I like is Howard Orange Oil Wood Polish. There's a lot of different orange oils. It's a very good thing to use on wood, but it's the Howard brand Orange Oil Wood Polish. It's a cleaner, it's a conditioner. It smells, it has orange oil in it and it smells great. So it's not like a stinky, you know, awful kind of thing. It smells good. And man, you wipe that on that wood, it cleans it, gets all the dusty crusties out, and it looks great.
Good.
I'll get you some orange oil.
Some orange oil. You're all the cleaning that I have to do.
Well, I just was using it and I'm like, you know, I really do like this. It's easy and it comes in different things, but like just a spray, you know, you just spray it on your little cloth and it's just, and I'm enjoying using it on my vintage finds. So it's easy to use.
Awesome.
So, okay, guys, that's it. Right. We've given you everything. We've given you a recipe. We've talked about how we need to change the country, the election.
We pretty much fixed the world.
We fixed it. If they would just listen to us.
Yeah.
Crying out loud. Driving me crazy. Send them Fighting Irish in there.
That's right.
Take care of it.
That's right.
Okay, guys, we will talk to you next week. And as Joni said, it'll be daylight savings. We'll all be happier. It'll be lighter. It'll be great. So until then, see you later, cornbread.
See you, corn dip.
I
was dancing in the kitchen today.
You were at school?
I was at school. Yeah.
Where were you dancing?
Yeah. Oh, I was just some like funky weird song came on the radio.
Is it embarrassing? And, did you embarrass yourself?
Oh, I didn't. I wasn't embarrassed.
You're like, I was fine.
I did. One boy was walking across the kitchen. He wasn't very amused. So I just got in front of him and started like, you know, dancing. And he was like,
oh, Joni, you probably scarred him for life.
Oh, well, he'll get over it.